Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Focus on Health, brought to you every Wednesday at this time by VanDiest Medical Center, where now more than ever their focus is you on this day before Thanksgiving. Lori Foster from VanDiest Medical Center joins me live in the studios. And Lori, good morning to you.
Good morning to you too, Pat.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Do you have plans for the holiday?
I'll spend a little time with family, then back here on Friday, then back off for the rest of the weekend, then, of course, back on Monday. So I'll be here on Friday, but Thursday, just away from this place. Another day off after being off last week, so...
Well, wonderful. Enjoy
yes,
your time.
We'll do that. We'll do that. We have joining us this morning, Shelby Kuna from Hamilton County Public Health, as we head towards this holiday season, talking about food safety and so much more as we get set for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, the New Year, and all that in the foreseeable future. But we have some big things going on at VanDiest Medical Center, don't we? Some
we do. I have news, a Lori? Few announcements I would like
Please
to share.
Do.
Thank
Please,
you, Pat.
You're welcome.
First of all, I would like to start with a celebration. Last Thursday, November 17th, was National Rural Health Day. And as part of that celebration, our hospital was recognized with the 2022 Performance Leadership Award for Excellence in Outcomes. This is compiled by the Chartis Center for Rural Health. The Performance Leadership Awards actually honor the top percentile, the top 75th percentile or above among rural hospitals in quality outcomes and patient perspective. The Performance Leadership Awards are based on the results of the Chartis Rural Hospital Performance Index. This is the industry's most comprehensive and objective assessment of rural hospital performance. Index data is trusted and relied upon by rural hospitals, health systems with rural footprints, hospital associations, and state offices of rural health across the country to measure and monitor performance across several areas impacting hospital operations and finance. So just really wonderful that we were recognized for this award, and just congratulations to everyone at VanDiest Medical Center, because it really takes everyone working together to provide access and quality health care to our rural communities. So it was a wonderful recognition.
Indeed.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. And yes. And then I do want to mention, I've shared this on previous programs, about our digital check-in process. So we actually launched this at VanDiest Family Health Clinics the end of October, and have encouraged patients to watch for this text that comes out prior to their appointments. Within that text, there will be a link, and they can do all of their pre-registration prior to coming to the hospital and or the clinic. We have partnered with Epion Health, and I share that because that is the software vendor, and that is where the text will be originated from. And patients can go in and verify and confirm their information. They can upload their insurance card and their driver's license, as well as accepting all of those conditions of admission and any other consents, and then complete the process before they even come into the doors of the clinic or hospital. I share this too because just this week we went live within the hospital within some of our departments. So our specialty clinic department, radiology, lab, infusion center, and even respiratory therapy for some of those patients that are having sleep studies. So if you do have an appointment coming up, watch for that text coming through on your smartphone or your personal device. And I say give it a shot because it is a very simple process. I have gone through it. It takes but a few minutes. And this will be the process going forward. If patients choose not to do that, they can simply come in and do the registration process when they arrive.
Now, the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way, as we all know. But I do just encourage people to give it a try. There is a wonderful tutorial video on the homepage of our website that will take you through every screen that you will see and every step of the process. So visit VanDiestMC.org if you have questions. And know that we have people out at the hospital, in the clinics, to help you through if you want to go and kind of work through the process with someone.
Good.
So very excited to offer that. And as I've mentioned before, this is the first of a two-step process. So the second step will be online patient self-scheduling, where patients can choose the physician or provider they wish to see for their appointment, the time that they'd like to have their appointment, and they can do this all on their cell phone or personal device. So we do expect that part to go live within the next month, sometime in December.
All right. Nice way to start off 2023.
Yes. And then we've got some fun holiday happenings out at the gift shop at the hospital. If you haven't stopped out, I encourage you to stop and see what they have. They have some terrific things, gift ideas, things for Christmas and the holidays. I had just stopped in yesterday. The gift shop is located right inside our main entrance, which faces to the west, to the courthouse. It's open every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. However, during the holiday season, they're going to be open four Sundays. So starting this Sunday, November 27th, December 4th, 11th, and 18th, they will be open from 12 noon to 4 p.m. And then they're also hosting a Christmas party December 12th and 13th in the gift shop. There will be some special sales announced. They'll be serving hot apple cider and homemade Christmas cookies. On these same 2 days, they have invited the Nutman Company back for a fundraising opportunity. So they have over 200 snacks and chocolates and candies. And it's a great time before the holidays to make some purchases, you know, for celebrations you might be having or to put in stockings. The hours for the fundraiser on those 2 days, December 12th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and then on the 13th, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. So that's a Monday and Tuesday, December 12th and 13th. The gift shop will be closed December 24th through January 10th for inventory.
All right.
So, and then lastly, I want to mention we have our next SALT meeting coming up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That is Seniors and Law Enforcement Together. It is a week from tomorrow, Thursday, December 1st. It is going to take place at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we get underway about 9 o'clock. Breakfast is served. Van Deese Medical Center offers free blood pressure checks. The meeting itself actually begins at 9:30. We have announcements and report outs from area agencies, from law enforcement throughout Hamilton County, and also from the communities in the county of what's going on, what happenings are coming up. And then the program follows. And we're delighted to have the second and third graders from St. Thomas Aquinas School sharing Christmas carols.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Sounds of the Season, that will be the program, and the SALT meetings are free and open to the public, so we certainly hope you can attend.
So that'll be at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish Center next Thursday, yes, December 1st.
I know, it kind of snuck up on us, actually.
Yes, it has.
So, yes, Doug Timmons will be there, mm-hmm. and we'll close out the year with some beautiful Christmas carols.
All right, we'll look forward to that coming up next Thursday at St. Thomas Aquinas for the SALT meeting, sponsored jointly by Hamilton County's Law Enforcement Committee with the Sheriff's Office, Webster City Police, EJS Police, and Van Deese Medical Center.
That is correct.
All right. Also, a reminder, too, we have some closings on Friday. We should mention, too, about the clinics. Will they be open on Friday?
Oh, my gosh. We just put that post on our Facebook. And, yes, the clinic in Webster City will be open on Friday and on Saturday. All of our clinics are closed on Thanksgiving.
All right. But nevertheless, if you need a medical emergency, simply call 911, and there will be staff at Van Deese Medical Center on Thanksgiving Day.
Absolutely. We are open 24/7, and we definitely want to encourage that. If you're needing medical assistance, an emergency situation, definitely call 911. We will be there for you.
Very good. Well, that does it for the announcements, but we have a very special guest we've had many times, and that is Shelby Kuna, our Hamilton County Public Health Director. As we talk about things we need to know when it comes to this holiday season, when it comes to cooking and so on and so forth. So it's all yours there, Lori.
You're right. Thank you, Pat. You did
Absolutely.
A fantastic job.
Thank
Very
you.
Pleased to have as our guest this morning Shelby Kuna, who is the administrator at Hamilton County Public Health. And it is that time of year. We need to be talking about how to keep ourselves and each other safe during the holidays. So a perfect time to have you on. Good morning, Shelby.
Good morning, and thank you very much for inviting me today again.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes. When I think about holidays, there's two things that I think about, food and travel. I'm going to start off today with a little travel tip for families. We had a little cold snap last week, mm-hmm. and it's so important that your children are strapped into their car seats correctly in case there is an accident. And I think of all of us traveling to grandma's house or grandpa's house this coming up weekend. Mm-hmm. And as winter approaches, fortunately, it's a little warmer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the Hamilton County Facebook page. There is a video, but I'm going to try to describe. It is so important when you have an infant or a toddler in a car seat, those five-point harnesses, that they're tight enough. And oftentimes their jacket loosens those straps just enough that if there is even a low impact car crash, they can come out of that car seat. And we want everybody to be safe. So the trick that you need to do is put your child in their car seat with that bulky jacket on. Buckle them in, tighten it up. Without releasing the straps, take the chest clip off and unbuckle the one that's between their legs. And take your child out, take their jacket off, put them back into the car seat, and buckle it up. If you can pinch those shoulder straps together, that child is too loose in that car seat. So there's other options that you can use. Put your jacket on your child, bring them out to the car, take the jacket off, put them in the car seat so that they are safe. Cover them up with blankets, mm-hmm. put their jacket on backwards so that when you're ready to get out, you can pull them off, that jacket off and put it on the right way. But you would not believe the traffic bureau statistics about children who are injured because of that bulky jacket. So please go to our Facebook page. There is a great video talking about the safetiness of car seats because we all want our children to be safe and happy through the holidays.
Great tip to share. And like you mentioned, we did have a cold snap. Now this week, oh my gosh, we couldn't ask for better weather. It's been perfect. So, you know,
yes,
people kind of forget to think about that. But, you know, when we're looking through the holiday season, kind of to the end of the year and beyond, such a helpful tip for parents to consider.
So then our second is about food safety. And I'm going to start with just a snippet of a story because this happens and people don't even realize it. Way back when I was younger training for food safety, I'm away at a training and my husband calls me and he goes, Shelby, we've got 35 people sick after the potluck. And I'm like, oh, okay. I said, tell me what has gone on. And he goes, well, we served a salad Sunday morning at a potluck. We served it Sunday night at another church gathering. And then we had vacation Bible school and we served it for lunch because it was such a big salad. And now we've got 35 people ill, vomiting and diarrhea. What should we do? I'm like, well, throw the salad away.
Number one.
Off. But I said, you know, that unfortunately, sometimes that just happens. And we need to be prepared that when we're preparing food for other people, that we're doing it safely. Mm-hmm. So I have some tips about preparing food safely. When you have cold food and you're serving cold food, make sure it stays cold. Bacteria can get into food, can be on leaves, tomatoes, lettuce leaves. We've all seen the recalls over the years. So when that cold food gets warmer, the bacteria then tends to multiply, and that's when we end up with a vomiting or a diarrheal illness. The vice versa is hot food needs to be hot. And I don't know how many of you have ever gone to a restaurant and bitten into a hamburger or a piece of chicken and thought, whew, this isn't really very cooked very well. Looks a little pink in the middle. So again, hot food, if it's in the danger zone of about 140 degrees is when bacteria really starts to multiply. So again, rule of thumb, hot food hot, cold food cold. And if it's not, don't eat it. Leave it on your plate. I have on the Facebook page for Hamilton County, again, some tips on how to use a thermometer. When I was researching some food safety things, it says 66% of adults don't know how to use a meat thermometer correctly. Got some great videos on there. But the tip is you want your meat thermometer to be in the coldest part of the food so you will know if it's in the right temperature range. So an easy example would be if you have a thin roast, that's maybe only like a pork loin roast, you put your thermometer all the way through. Then you pull it back out till it's halfway. That should be the center of your roast, and that should be at the appropriate temperature. Again, roasts are about 160, 165. Turkeys, We're going to all have turkey probably, or many of us are going to have turkey on Thursday. I've made this mistake myself. I stick my thermometer in the breast meat and I think, oh, okay, it's at the right temperature. But again, you should stick your thermometer all the way down to the breast bone and then pull back halfway. And that should be the coldest part of your meat. If you're too close to the bone, it could be hotter. If you're too narrow into just the top little portion of that breast meat, it might be hotter also. And then when you carve the turkey, it's raw in the middle. The other thing with turkey is you should be checking it in three spaces. So you check your breast, you check the thigh, and you check the joint between the thigh and the carcass. All of those should be in the right temperature range. Again, don't ever serve anything that's in the 140 degree range. Turkey, I think, is about 165. But again, I know every turkey has a thermometer chart on it. If you watch the video on our Facebook page, it also says don't just use time as your sensor. Use your meat thermometer and use it appropriately. So we hope everybody cooks their food. Some tips about if you're serving buffet style, you know, use those chafing dishes with the lights under the candles underneath them, the sterno cans, whatever you have to keep it hot. Especially if you intend to serve over a long period of time. The other thing, I know there's many new chilled bowls that have like a chilling liquid in between the layers of the bowl. If you're going to serve something cold, those are great things to have on hand. Otherwise, you could always make some ice in another container and stick your bowl in it. Food should not sit out for greater than an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I know on Thanksgiving, it's so hard. You eat that big meal and you want to go watch the game.
Go relax before we do dishes.
Yes.
Get the food put away.
And that food sits out. It is so important to keep it at a good temperature if you're going to let it sit out. The health department does follow up when foodborne illnesses are identified. And, you know, it's not your normal kind of stomach flu. When you have a foodborne illness, you can be hospitalized. You could have nausea and vomiting for up to 10 days. It needs medication sometimes to get those bacteria out of your system. So
so definitely take those precautions ahead of time. Nothing you want to play with.
No,
because it can go downhill quickly, yes.
And the other thing is if you're not feeling well, you shouldn't be preparing food for somebody else.
Absolutely.
So, again, if you're having a gathering and you're ill, call your daughter, your son, and say, hey, you know, could you bring this instead of me? Because that's just an easy way for all types of viruses and bacteria to get shared. And remember when you're traveling, too, just really think about what you're eating. We oftentimes, people travel around the holidays, and I always see an increase in our foodborne illness, usually around February, where people have gone to some warmer climates and eaten. When you can't prepare the food, somebody else is preparing the food for you. But be vigilant about hot food hot and cold food cold.
Great information, yeah. Shelby. Good reminders for everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know we got a few minutes left, and I wanted to talk also just a brief snippet about COVID and respiratory illnesses. Because, again, we're going to be bringing those young babies to see aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas that maybe don't see those babies frequently. But we are across the state and across the nation in an RSV crisis now.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And we need to protect those babies. So I know how hard it is not to want to snuggle and kiss them. I saw a really cute tag on a baby carrier the other day that said, please don't kiss the baby. You know, and it's sad. I know we want to do that, but we're seeing still an increase. Just in the state of Iowa this past week, we had 903 38 children with RSV, and not all of them end up hospitalized. But the week before was 810, and the week before that was 568. So you can see our numbers are still going up. Mm-hmm. So it's really important when we have this early onset of this kind of a virus, that we take whatever precautions we can for those little ones. The other thing that we're seeing on our influenza report is that influenza-like illness, which is not influenza A or B, but it's similar, that coughing, cold-like symptoms, but you really feel like you've been hit like a truck. Those are up all around us. Iowa's considered moderate, but right now Nebraska's considered high, Missouri's high, Illinois is high, and Wisconsin is high. So if you're traveling to those areas, be prepared that you may come in contact with somebody who has this and then bring it home to your family. So again, we've stopped wearing masks, which is okay, but we have noticed this year in particular that a lot of these viruses are really circulating a lot more because we have stopped some of our preventative measures.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Shelby. Similarly, that is what we're seeing. And I'm sure you have reports for Hamilton County, too. But out at the hospital, just as recently as Monday night at our board meeting, I know Nikki Ean had shared some information with all of us that is definitely what we're seeing. We're seeing some cases of RSV. We're seeing some cases of this influenza virus. But there is a third virus that is circulating that is like influenza. It has upper respiratory symptoms, and it's lasting 7 to 10 days. And so it's here. It's around us. So definitely, even though as a general rule we're not masking, if you have symptoms, wear a mask. I would encourage you, even if you're going to be around other people, family, friends, as you get together. If you're not feeling well, stay away. But if you have some symptoms, rather than possibly spreading anything, wear a mask.
Definitely, because, again, we don't always know the underlying condition of people who are around us. And it is a good habit to have some masks available just in case. You know, going to church, whatever, somebody could be immunocompromised and that virus could land them in the hospital.
Right.
I just thought I'd give you a brief update on COVID. It is still here. I know people don't get as sick and not as hospitalized as much, but our numbers for the last week were in the last 7 days, we had 18 new diagnoses. In the last 3 days, 7. And we would expect, again, after large gatherings, that we will see a little increase in all of these kinds of viruses and illnesses. So cover your cough. Stay home if you're ill. Rule of thumb, if you have an infant with a fever over 100.4, they should be home. If you have a fever over 101, you should be staying home. Have good thermometers in your house to check for fever. The old, kissing on your forehead and I think they feel warm. You really need to know what that fever is. And then cover your cough. Clean your hands. Wash your hands frequently, frequently. Good food prep, good virus protection.
Absolutely. And we definitely want people to know that those bivalent boosters are still available.
Yes.
So if you haven't been vaccinated or you haven't gotten your booster, we have booster available. And same is true for those for influenza vaccine. If you haven't gotten your flu shot yet, it's not too late. Definitely get your flu shot, schedule a time to see your primary care physician, or public health can offer those too. We definitely want people to do what they can and keep themselves well throughout the holiday season and the winter season, because this is going to look different. It's already looking different than previous years, and we are seeing these viruses circulate.
Yep. Yep. So I mentioned our Facebook page a number of times today. Please go out to Hamilton County Public Health Facebook page. You can find the videos for how to use a thermometer. I also have one more handout on there for if you are a church family or you're cooking for a large group of people. The USDA has a great, it's a 40-page handout, but it gives good instructions on how to keep those buffets safe. And that's on their website or our Facebook page. And then we also have the car seat safety on our Facebook page. So.
Perfect. Shelby, wonderful. Great information and terrific resources that are available. So definitely check out their Facebook page, Hamilton County Public Health. And I thank you for being on the program today. Great information as always. I want to wish you and your staff a very happy Thanksgiving. And same to you, Pat.
Well, thank you, Lori.
And to all of our listeners out there, wishing you a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Stay safe.
Stay safe. Thank you.
You're welcome, Shelby. And let's remind again that the Van Deese Medical Center Family Clinics will be closed tomorrow in Webster City.
Correct.
I'm looking at the Facebook page right now there, Lori. And the Stratford Clinic is also closed tomorrow. Same goes for the Jewel Clinic, closed today and tomorrow. The Fort Dodge Clinic is also closed Thursday and Friday as well. So just kind of an update for for those out there. But again, if they need medical service, don't forget the ER is open, as always, 24/7 at Van Deese Medical Center.
Most definitely. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks, Shelby. And that does it for Focus on Health for today, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where now more than ever, their focus is you. I'm Pat Powers. It's 8:56.
Hi, I'm Greg Peterson of the Peterson Farm Brothers. If you've seen our videos, you know we're proud to be farmers. Farming can be dangerous. Never assume location or depth of underground utilities or pipelines. Before you start any work on your farm, call 811 or visit